Carly Wright is our new director of children's ministry, and I'd hoped to introduce her last Sunday, but some of you may know, in preparing to move into her apartment, her mother broke her ankle, and so I think she is with her parents this morning in Umatilla. I received a text from her about 7:30 saying she planned to be here at 11 o'clock. I hope to introduce her here at this service today, but she's going to be here at 11, and you will see her in the future. And when she is finally introduced, you can give her a wonderful round of applause. She is working very hard. She is here from 7 to 9:30 in the mornings, and then from 2 to 6 p.m., and tomorrow she meets with us as the staff for the first time at 11 to talk about King's Kids, the nursery, other Sunday school programs. And so she will have a full plate. And so keep her in your prayers. But I thought about all that she's bringing to us with education and her background as well in education, music education. And I thought about our adult education that's starting back after Labor Day. I thought about the schools starting back. And I realized it was time once again to think about the importance of our minds and what we put into them. And so you see the title of the message this morning for those online. It's "A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste, but a Wonderful Thing to Invest in." And I'll give you the history of that phrase when I open the message this morning. But there are two readings that I want to offer. The first is some wisdom from Proverbs chapter 22 at verse 17, two verses there. And so I'll read this one first. Proverbs chapter 22, beginning at verse 17. "The words of the wise, incline your ear and hear my words and apply your mind to my teaching, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips." Beautiful words. And then from one of the prophets we don't hear from very often, the prophet Haggai. And I'm offering one verse from chapter 1, verse 5. And this is what prophet Haggai has for us this morning. "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways." Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, it is a big deal to seek to model our lives after your Son, Jesus Christ. To seek to become more and more like Him is a big deal. And as we come now to the proclamation of your word and the hearing of it, help us to go from this hour seeking not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. For in doing so, we pray we will be able to better discern your will for us. For we know that your will for our lives is good and acceptable and indeed perfect. In Christ's name, help us to know that and to dwell on it. Amen. Well, as a way of explaining the history of that sermon title, I want to describe it by telling you the story of a highly successful college scholarship fund. It's been around in our nation for now 7 decades. There's a lot in the news these days about college loans, but there's also something to be said for the scholarships that have existed for a long time. And today, the organization, you can go to their website, they only refer to themselves by their initials only. The scholarship fund is the UNCF Fund, often known as the United Fund, the UNCF Fund. It is a college for African Americans. And back in 1972, they adopted a motto, a slogan, if you will, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." And it became their maxim. It became as well one of the most widely recognized advertising slogans in advertising history. "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." And today, it's the nation's largest private scholarship fund, and it provides scholarships now to many minorities, students of color, the United Fund. And in 1972, it expanded its advertising maxim, its slogan. It is now not just "the mind is a terrible thing to waste," but "it's a wonderful thing to invest in." They added to it. And that phrase sums up their mission, to produce brilliant minds. What an influential phrase, I thought. That's something that all of us can remember. What a wonderful phrase. And it has been over the years. And so this morning in our brief time together, I'd like for us to consider, with all the education that's about to start up here after Labor Day and schools getting started and the letter that I read from the preschool grandparent, to think about what we invest our minds in, what we think about. The importance of doing this, I think, would be obvious to all of us because our identity, the happiness, the joy we experience in life, our purpose, indeed our futures, the futures of our family, the futures of our children, are tied into what we and they habitually think. What is put in their minds is what they become. Jesus himself, you remember, he stressed this over and over again. He said, "The truth about a person in so many words is found inside that person, in their heart and in their minds." The word from the prophet Haggai, it reminds us this morning that we are to give careful thought to all our ways. And why is that? Well, first of all, think with me, our thoughts have a powerful impact on numerous areas of our lives, especially our character and our morality, very first. Those are very important, our character and our morality. Remember that Jesus had a number of arguments, controversies with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they were religious fanatics in some sense. They loved to do things for show. And many of the stories in the Gospels are of Jesus challenging some of the things they were teaching. They wanted people to obey strict behavioral laws that defined what they should and should not do. But Jesus reminded them that it is in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts. That's where the things that become wrong, that's where they start. Not so much in our behavior, but it's in our minds. And Jesus hunted. He hunted good and evil to its source. He traced evil to its very beginnings. And he understood the importance of a person's motives. You see, it is hating that often takes place first in our heads that leads someone to commit violence. And we see that all through the nation and our world. Impure thoughts result in immoral living. And it is a vision of getting even with others that finally ends up leading some people into ugly revenge, violence. And it is true, every evil act, every evil word has behind it a nurtured thought that has been given birth in our minds, and it grows if we dwell on it. So many people say to me about those who are trying to manipulate others with those fraudulent emails and telephone calls, those scams. They say to me very often around here, just think how much good they could do if they put that energy into doing positive things. And that's true, isn't it? It's true. I agree with you. I wish they would put those energies into positive things. Which is to say, positive and gracious thoughts, they are the reason for good and kind acts that we do. Positive thoughts result in kind acts. How important for us then to always seek to fill our heads with thoughts that are uplifting, thoughts that are Christ-like, to do what the wisdom in Proverbs says, to have the words of God ready on our lips, to memorize and be able to quote for ourselves and remember the truths of Scripture, to think about whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is good, to think about those things. This is the way to good moral living, is it not? We have known for years we have known this. Studies tell us how much violence is attributed to television shows, movies, for example. It is not only the presentations of sex and violence, but the glorification of a whole lifestyle that is foreign to us, that doesn't fit often Christian understandings. And we see that over and over and over again on the television, on the internet, on cell phones. And the real danger occurs. The real danger is when these attitudes are no longer just on the TV or the computer screen, but they get into our mental screens, our mental filters as we look at all of life and see people as persons, not objects, but persons. And anyone, I would say, who swallows commercials and televisions whole, if you swallow all that whole without either grinning or grimacing at the manipulations, then your mind is getting captured. When you see some of those commercials, you ought to just laugh or grimace for what they're trying to accomplish in manipulating people. The goal and challenge of the parent, by the way, and I've experienced this, and the goal of the church is not just to promote turning the television off more often or putting the cell phone down during some hours, but more importantly, the goal of the parent and the goal of the church is to plant positive ideas deep into the minds of those that we care about and those that we love. Ideas and teachings about peace and purity and family and loyalty and respect for others. Now, someone said to me a few years ago, I don't think we should have a Scout Sunday. That's not something the church should do. I differ. I think we should do more of them and lift up that which is valuable to a child, to learn how to be a good neighbor, to tell the truth, to do that which is right, and scouting's a part of that. But our real need today is it not also how to keep our spirits uplifted, how to keep our spirits creative and ongoing and positive. I find that to be a real challenge nowadays, to do that and for people to do that. When we find ourselves, for example, running out of gas, and some of us do, not so much literally, but physically, running out of gas with so much to do, oftentimes it's not a physical issue, all the time at least. Oftentimes it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. All of us need to find ways, you see, to be vital, to be self-affirming to ourselves and contributing to life without losing heart. And that's hard to do in this world, isn't it? And of course, it's important to do. It's crucial to do that, to be vital, to be positive, especially when you're struggling to make it through education, to achieve a certain level of success in career or whatever. But it is even more important, I think, to do that in our later years, to learn how to give back as we are trying to finish our lives with joy and gusto. How do we do that? I'm suggesting this morning it means improving our thoughts. Every one of us, improving our thoughts. Imagine a person thinks, and you can imagine this, they think, I'm no good. I can't compete with others in education, in the classroom. I'm really not very good at business, or I'm not very good socially. When that happens, oftentimes that person kind of lives on the edge or outside of the community. And when that happens, that's a dangerous thing. And when we see someone living in that kind of posture, we ought to connect the dots and try to pull them in and get them help. If we think those negative thoughts and think that we're no good, then those thoughts that we keep reminding ourselves of, they can be a self-fulfilling prophecy for them. And the facts are that our thoughts, once they're planted in our minds, they have a tendency to multiply if we do not guard them. They can even overtake our unconscious selves. And then sadly, we and others can act on those negative messages. You see it all the time. You wonder why something took place. It's because that negative thought was nurtured and it multiplied. On the other hand, suppose you begin with the thought that you are a child of God and you are loved because you're worthy. You're not worthy because you're loved. You're loved because you are worthy as an individual in the eyes of God, everyone here. Doesn't that lift your sense of self to be told that you're important? Of course it does. And suppose then you were also to affirm with God that everything with God is possible. Now, I know that sounds idealistic, but you know, that's the way Jesus taught. I read a book recently about Jesus and hyperbole, and that's the way Jesus taught. he talked about, with God you can move mountains, that if you say to that mountain, be cast in the sea, it can, and that's a hyperbole, an exaggeration. For example, you remember we are told in the scriptures that God knows the number of hairs on your head. Well, God might just indeed know the number of hairs, but that's hyperbole to say God cares about you very much. God is very concerned about your well-being. And Jesus said he knows the number of hairs on your head. That's how much he cares. But you know, the trouble with what I'm saying this morning, and I realize this, is that too very often we find it hard to control our thoughts. Isn't that the problem? There are just so many that it's so hard to control our thoughts. I've got so much on my mind, you say. Which is why, as human beings, we have to choose very carefully what we put in our minds. Very carefully. I believe we've become way too casual about that. You see, instead of letting our fears and our anxieties dictate our thoughts, we are to allow God, who can do anything, dwell in our hearts and minds deeply. Ah, but Pastor, doesn't that just boil down to the saying that we hear people say and we just laugh at? When people say, oh, those things you mentioned, those aren't problems, those are opportunities, ha ha. And that's what we do when someone says that. They're not problems, they're opportunities. And yet, which one of those two attitudes will come up with a creative solution? How often do we need to be reminded that we are psychosomatic creatures? That's a great word, psychosomatic creatures, which means that as human beings, we are both minds and bodies. We discovered that many years ago. Which means that what goes in one affects the other. If you have a cold, it can affect your spirit. And if you have trouble with your spirit, it can affect your whole body. In other words, if you let thoughts, anxious ones or angry ones or guilty ones, if you let them dwell within you and control you, then watch out for your blood pressure, right? Or maybe, oh, my back's hurting now. Or I have a headache. But do you know that those who practice healthful emotions, those who choose to think about the future with a reason to live, those whose minds are filled with creative and positive thoughts are far more likely not to have a serious illness? Did you know that? You knew that, didn't you? You knew that. Now, I say all that not to suggest that all physical illness can be mentally cured, not at all. But it is, however, to say that the mind and our thought processes are definitely aids to the healing process. And they can also be preventive agents as well. Doctor who practices holistic medicine, this is what he said once back in the 70s. He said, "Not all patients can be cured, but all patients can be healed." You see, even if the body fails, the spirit can experience renewal, even in a life-threatening situation. How often I've had the phone call or the conversation with someone, as Paul has had over the years, "Pastor, I know things are going to end, but I'm at peace with that. I've lived a good life, and I'm grateful to God." How often I've heard that healing. And it is in the church, and this is why I've always been an encourager of people to come to worship regularly. It is in the church, I believe, that we hear repeated statements of pardon for those who feel guilt. It is here that we hear some verses from the Bible that remind us of God's comfort. It is here that I have found God's call to us as individuals and as a church, calling us to be greater than we are, more than we are. It is here that we repeat statements of faith together and the Lord's Prayer and familiar words to some song that gives us a lift for the coming week. And what I'm suggesting again this morning is we need to keep these thoughts in our heads. And not just for ourselves, but for our families and for our children and others. And then our lives will be renewed and they'll be changed, and the church will mean so much more than just within these four walls. It'll mean something every day to us. We need to pack our minds and hearts with a cluster of very specific thoughts, and I close with these. For example, God is love and God is personally concerned about you. Christ is your Savior, and even your worst sins can be forgiven. Friends, Christ rules the world, even in the face of tragedy. And life is essentially good because God is good. And our failure is, I believe, that too often we don't marshal these thoughts. We don't collect them. We don't swallow them. We don't digest them. We don't get them within us to help us in that time of need. And of course, you can say this morning, "Well, after all you've suggested, Pastor, what you suggest isn't easy." Of course it isn't. Which is why it takes discipline. Which is why it takes habitually putting good things in your minds and your hearts. And this is why the writer of Proverbs reminds us this morning of what God is saying for us today. "Incline your ear and hear my words, and apply your mind to my teaching, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, and if all of them are ready on your lips." Let us pray as we come to our closing song. O Lord, help us remember that yours is the most creative mind in all the universe. And it is you that gives us knowledge and imagination and reason to overcome every difficulty. And so help us to focus our thoughts upon you. And whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is worthy, to think about these things so that the peace and joy of God will always be with us. In Christ's name, amen.